was laying on my heart.
Would you like to, do you want me to call you up? Do you have some prayers that you would like to lead the congregation?
I can't think of any right offhand. Just I mentioned something, but just praying for Israel and for people.
Well, there's been an awful lot happening here over the last little bit. Seems like every time we join together, it's only a month, but the amount of needs are increasing exponentially. It's really quite extraordinary. The thing that's been on my heart for the last week and a half now have been our brothers and sisters in Egypt. I guess some people saw those videos of what took place in Syria. And frankly, I don't know what happened in Syria. I don't even know if there was a chemical attack. I have seen so many fake videos coming out of the Middle East, staged and such, that I rarely believe anything that I see coming out of there. I have seen corpses that Israel has killed rise up when one of the gurney carriers have tripped and get back on the gurney. It was a miracle. In Israel, they have a name for it. It's called Pollywood. I'm serious. I don't know. And unfortunately, we have come to a place where without discernment from God, who do you believe? I don't know who to believe. I know we're acting on this intelligence, but I was also told in a report that it was a consensus. When you get a consensus, that means we don't know. This is everybody's best guess, and that's all it is. But there is no doubt as to what has taken place in Egypt. Our brothers and sisters have been slaughtered. They've died in the streets. Their blood runs in the streets. At the Passover Seder, we had an Egyptian brother, believer, who thanked me for bringing up our brothers and sisters in Egypt and praying for them. We have a sister there who has come and spoken at this congregation numerous times, Samia. Haven't heard from her. We have no idea what's going on. One of the most profound testimonies of our Lord is the fact that his name is greater than anything else. Amen. Egyptians, Jews, I was just fellowshipping a couple of weeks ago with an Iranian brother. He was here speaking at the congregation 6 months ago. He was born Muslim, came to faith in Yeshua. I was born Jewish in America, came to faith in Yeshua. Me and him are brothers. We spoke, we laughed, we rejoiced with one another on the name of our Lord. That name is greater than any difference that we can summon up. We are truly bound inextricably one to another by the body and the blood that was broken and shed for us. And those Egyptians who proclaimed the name of Yeshua, it was hard for me to see them laying in the streets bleeding, dead, the children dead, their wives dead. It was a hard thing. Of course, over the such as these, the second death has no power. They died for their faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so they go directly to heaven. They don't pass go. They don't need $200. They just... And so I rejoice in their salvation. And my heart breaks. My soul rejoices. My heart breaks to see them laying in the streets. I'd like to pray for our brothers and sisters who are in Egypt right now, for our brothers and sisters who are in throughout the Middle East, who are literally being hacked to death by an insane evil that is just sweeping over that place. It is just this swarm of demonic darkness that has captured the people. I pray like David prays. Lord, stop them. Do whatever you need to do. Stop them. Let the darts of the enemy return. May all their plans fail. May they be utterly defeated. Yet the name of Yeshua compels me to also pray somehow that the light would break through that darkness and that all those who have been ordained from the beginning of the foundations of the earth would come and proclaim Yeshua Hu Adon, Jesus, He is Lord. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for this season of our redemption, this new year of redemption. The tikkun, the restoration of people who call upon your name, who desire to partake of your table, the altar. I pray, Lord God, for our brothers and sisters in Egypt who have proclaimed your name even unto death, who have not forsaken the faith that you have placed in them. I pray for protection for those who are alive. That somehow, Lord God, you would blind the eyes of those who seek to kill them, that they just simply would not see. You have done this before, Lord. You did it with your son. He walked through the crowds and nobody saw him. Do that miracle again. Let them be hidden from the eyes of those who would seek to destroy and to murder. I pray, Lord God, somehow that their testimony would rise up. That there would be light in that place of darkness, and that more would come to proclaim your name. The Egyptians are our brothers, our cousins. We know in the end of days when you return that Egypt will be called your people. With man, these things are not even possible, but with you, everything is possible. You have proclaimed this to be truth, and so it shall come to pass. I pray, Lord God, that we see the beginning, the trickle of that flood that is coming, and that many more of our brothers and sisters, cousins, will come to proclaim your name. With the insanity that is ISIS, I pray utter defeat, Lord God, utter destruction. And I pray that it not come by the hand of man. I pray that it come in such a fashion that all would rejoice, all would give honor to you, knowing that it was you who brought this destruction. Your promise is that all who fight against you and your people will be destroyed. Fulfill your promise in our days, Lord God, in our sight, in our hearing, in our days. Destroy this evil and let it not cause any more misery amongst the people who lift up your name. I pray for your body here in America, Lord God, that you would bind us together, that we would realize the things that separate us are trivial, tedious, unimportant. That, Lord God, we would view one another not as human beings, Lord God, that you would let us see the soul, the likeness of you, and that you would bind us together, Lord. You are separating things out. There are those who have proclaimed the name who are leaving. There are those who have cursed the name who are coming into the kingdom. Father, you are shaking everything that can be shaken. Let us receive every blessing. Let us love without boundary. Let us seek and desire to behold your face. I also lift up my people in Israel. I pray for your protection, for the evil has invaded that place as well. The stabbings and the running downs, automobiles and such. Keep your people safe, Lord God. May those who gather on the borders of the land that you have chosen, the land that you have bestowed upon your people, may they find nothing but confusion. May they be able to muster no strength. And if there be an attack there as well, may it be defeated in such a way that everybody gives glory to your holy name, Lord God, that they might see your hand moving. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Mark, if you would come up.
Shabbat shalom. It's been a great week, and we still have a number of days left. It's been very, very busy, a very busy week for all of us. But this is our joy. This is the season of rejoicing. This is the octave of Passover. And so all kinds of things are going on. Bert said earlier, Rabbi Bert said, well, it looks like it's just the two of us. And then he tried to sing the song, The Two of Us. but I think the reason it's just the two of us is it's Passover week. And everyone's so overwhelmed with all the responsibilities to celebrate and fellowship and to gather together that I think it's just a bit overwhelming. And so I am here, of course, alone tonight for some of the same reasons. But everyone's excited, and we're totally committed to this idea of praying together once a month, and we're grateful that Roe Israel opens the doors and has made this possible. And so I bring our greetings from our congregation up north to everyone here, and we say God bless you in the name of Messiah. Hallelujah. So, it's been interesting to see all the events that are occurring all around us. No one in their right mind misses the point that there is much evil around us, that evil has always been here. It permeates the world that we live in. It validates the idea that the evil one is still pressing his case and wreaking havoc everywhere that he can. And of course, there is the story of the good, of the holy, that is juxtaposed even in conflict in every generation with this evil. And we see the rise, the ebb and flow of this war in every generation. And what we're seeing today, what Rabbi Bird has talked about, is of course this evil that has risen, and the intensity is just really risen in the last couple years. And I thought, you know what? We're in the middle of Passover. There is nothing new under the sun. But the hope that we have is the hope of our ancestors. What we have seen played over and over and over, that God is our deliverer. God is our hope. And in him we shall not fear. We shall not fear. Even the worst scenario, death itself, is only temporary. Yeshua said it's like sleep. But the crown given is a martyr's crown. And the second death has no power over us. The second death is for the evil one and his followers who rebuffed the grace of God and pursued the people of God. Their fate will be the fate of the lake of fire, the torment and the destruction that's in that lake of fire, a second death, which is a permanent death and an irreversible damnation. And so that awaits them, of course. In the meantime, what shall we do? We shall rehearse the truths that God has given us. We shall enjoy the festivals that give us hope and perspective in the world that we live in. And we'll gather a host of men and women and boys and girls and lead them into this kingdom of Yeshua the Messiah until the close of the age. Yeshua said all things are going to be put under his feet, and his enemies are going to be a footstool for him, and then the end shall come. So there's still a lot of work to do, but we're on the winning side. We've seen this over and over and over. We will not despair. We will rise up. The righteous will rise up and have their day. So I'm very excited in the midst of all this happening. And what I want to do is just share a little bit, since we're in the week of Passover, I want to share a little bit about the culmination of what happened on the cross. That Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, who gave up his glory and came down and was born of a woman and lived among us, he suffered and died, carrying the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders. And taking the weight of the sin on his shoulders, he, on the cross, suffered the wrath of God poured out against sin in human flesh and blood. We cannot begin to imagine all that he endured to atone for our sins. We cannot begin to imagine the suffering, the insanity, the torment, and the death that he endured for our sake. So in Passover, we have that great theme told long before, of the lamb slain, the blood on the doorposts, resulting in our salvation. And of course, all of that pointing forward to the day in which the Lamb of God would come, Yeshua the Messiah, the Lamb of God, as John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, singular, the sin of the world, the totality of all sin, past, present, and future, he atoned for, that whosoever will, who had put their trust in the Lamb of God, would not perish, but have everlasting life. That humiliation, that suffering of Messiah, was rewarded. The resurrection is the vindication of that suffering. The resurrection is the vindication for what he went through. The church today will emphasize the resurrection this week and de-emphasize Passover. Even neglect it. And yet the pattern that we see in the scriptures is that during Passover week, it's Passover that's emphasized, not first fruits. First fruits doesn't even have a holy convocation. Why? I want to read a little bit about this, and I want to make the case that it's not the line of the tribe of Judah who saves us. It's the Lamb of God. And even though he's both and has two different roles in that, it's the Lamb of God. It's his role as the Lamb of God that's exalted. And it's that message that brings salvation. The resurrection doesn't save anyone. It is the blood of the Lamb that saves us. The resurrection's vitally important. But in regards to redemption, it's the Passover Lamb that gains the central emphasis in the story. So in Revelation chapter 5, we pick up this theme of the exaltation of Yeshua the Messiah. And it's fascinating to see that in both the role of the lion and the lamb, it's the lamb that gets exalted. And that's important for us to understand in this day. Why? Because we're called to pick up the cross and follow him. Our call is a call to martyrdom, except for those few that have the privilege to be assigned to overthrow the evil of their day. Someone had to bomb Germany. Someone had to bomb Hitler and the Third Reich into kingdom come. But for most of us, it is a path of martyrdom. This is why the Lamb of God is exalted. So in Revelation chapter 5, it begins and it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals.'" Because he overcame in the cross event, he becomes the lion of Judah who has the right and the privilege and the honor to open this book. But notice, the lion is not going to be exalted in this story, in this epistle, in this chapter. It's the lamb. Verse 6, ready? "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came," who? The lamb, "and took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense with the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, 'Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals. For thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. And they will reign upon the earth.'" The Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's the Lamb of God through his blood that purchased men and women of every tribe and nation and language. And he has made them to be a kingdom. We are a kingdom. As Rabbi Burt was pointing out, his Egyptian-Iranian brother is a brother because of Messiah. Because of Messiah, we are a part of this huge family. And by way of metaphor, we have become a kingdom. We are a kingdom in this world. Every believer in Messiah becomes part of this immense kingdom of God we have received. The kingdom of God. We're the recipients of the kingdom because of the blood of the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God. Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I bow, I worship Jesus because he carried my sin, died for me, suffered on my behalf. I owe him everything. Who? Him as the Lamb of God, not as the lion. Now that's his vindication. I owe him everything as the Lamb of God who suffered on my behalf and then pulled me in by his grace to be part of his kingdom and priests to our God. A kingdom and a priesthood. You and I, imagine that. A kingdom and a priesthood. What does a priest do? What's the job of the priest? The job of the priest is to minister to God. They minister to God. There's fellowship in that. There's service in that. There's honor in that. And then they turn and they minister to people. They become, in a way, a bridge between God and people. They help people in their journey to encounter the living God. That's what a priest does. Who are you? You're priests. All of you are priests in Messiah. Your job is to worship God like these heavenly beings and these elders who fall down and cast their crowns at the feet of the Lamb. We are to cast our titles and who we are, everything. We're to cast that at the feet of the Lamb and worship him. That's a service we give to God. And then we turn around and what do? We minister to those around us. A cup of water to the thirsty. We clothe the naked. We give food to the hungry. We minister. We pray. We heal. We reconcile. We do deeds of goodness and kindness for those around us. And we make a way for them to encounter the living God. And that's the priesthood. That's how we change our world. That's how we overcome evil. That's how we make a difference in the nations that we live in. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. We are in this world. Let me tell you something. Israel is amazing and beautiful in every way. But I love America. I live here. You know, if we all move to Israel, where's the light and the salt for America or any other nation that we would find ourselves in? Yeah, you know what? I can wait. We'll get there soon enough. In the meantime, you and I are priests in America. We're here to stem the tide of evil in America, to bind up the brokenhearted, to be healers, to help people reconcile with God. That's who we are. That's who we get to be, and to cause the kingdom to advance in America. What a great privilege that is. Goes on in verse 11, and I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all the things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." You catching this? Mm-hmm. Over and over and over. It's the Lamb that's exalted. It's the Lamb that receives power. It's the Lamb that receives glory. We want to invest that into what? The Lion. God's saying, no. That's invested in the Lamb. The resurrection is about the vindication of Messiah, not the redemption of Messiah. And God is emphasizing the redemption. And that's why the week of Passover centers around the Lamb of God, his blood poured out as a new covenant on our behalf, that we might be a kingdom and a priesthood before God. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. In closing, I want to encourage all of us, especially during this week of Passover, to keep our emphasis and our focus on Yeshua as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And to take that message of hope, that message of redemption, to everyone around us and invite them to enter in through the blood of the Lamb to this great and amazing and glorious and powerful kingdom of God, and to be priests with us, to minister to the hurting, to those who are under tremendous persecution, to those that are sick, to minister the love and power and grace of God. They're counting on us, our neighbors, our friends, our families, everyone around us who doesn't know God. They're really counting on you and me. So let's be that kingdom. Let's be that priesthood. That's who we are. That's who you are. Be encouraged, be filled with the Spirit, and may this week propel you forward, especially in the next 50 days, the counting of the Omer, to get to that next great place that we have in terms of the covenants of promise. Let's be that bridge to all those around us. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We just bless you, we love you, and we bow to your Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we exalt you, Yeshua, in your suffering, in your death, and we vindicate you in your resurrection. It's all about you. We ask that you would pour out your Spirit on each and every one of us, cleanse us from our sins, and fill us with your Spirit, and help us to see ourselves for who we are, your children, royalty, a priesthood and a kingdom, and cause us by your Spirit to reach out in great boldness to those around us, to be healers and reconcilers, to be a bridge between you and people that are lost and confused and hurting. This we ask in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.